We've sung of it and we've read of it in the Bible, that the gospel tells us that in trusting in and serving the Lord Jesus Christ, there is perfect freedom. The Lord Jesus Christ confronted the religious leaders of his day, and he spoke to them about what true freedom looks like. In the passage we read in John chapter 8, "If you abide in my truth, you are my disciples indeed," Jesus said, "and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So we have this stark contrast. Our culture tells us that freedom is personal autonomy, self-will, do whatever you like. The Lord Jesus Christ says abiding in his word and trusting in him brings true freedom. "Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed," said Jesus. Now, we live in a culture then that is applauding personal autonomy, where the Lord Jesus Christ builds us to abandon personal autonomy, rebellion against God, and to trust in him. So we're going to be looking at a passage tonight in John chapter 8, which tells us that apart from Jesus Christ, there is no true freedom. The Christian understanding of truth is that the truth comes from God and is found in the Bible, the Word of God. Truth is not controlled by dictators or politicians or the social media elite. They try to, but they cannot redefine truth. And Christians never get their truth then from the climate of the culture around. And that's interesting because it means Christians not getting their truth from the climate. If Christians live in a permissive society like London, Christians always look conservative. But in an oppressive culture, like a culture, say, like North Korea, Christians always look like radicals. That's because Christians judge the culture with a standard of truth that does not come from the culture, but comes from God. It's why in oppressive regimes, the church is the place where ideas of freedom are not extinguished. But in oppressive societies, the church is always regarded as revolutionary, a hotbed of subversion. But as important as political freedom is, the Lord Jesus Christ is talking here about a greater freedom, a freedom that's more important than political freedom. Many of those who fight for political freedom are still slaves to their sins. They cannot control their own passions. They cannot control their self-will. Jesus speaks of those who are slaves to sin. And many great political leaders down through history, many great political leaders today, are slaves to sin, slaves to the lust for power, for acclaim, for extravagance, for self-indulgence, controlled by their own ambitions, their own ego, their own pride. So the Lord Jesus Christ is here talking about a different sort of freedom. A freedom that he gives. A freedom of fulfillment and joy, a spiritual freedom. The truth as it is in Jesus brings freedom, fulfillment, joy at a deep heart level. And Jesus is saying that spiritual freedom is only found in him. So the gospel bids us to renounce personal autonomy and find freedom in Jesus Christ. And that the day we relinquish self-rule is the day we find freedom. So no one who understands true freedom in Christ finds the Christian life boring or repressive or dull. The gospel freedom in Jesus Christ sets you on a new course, a new adventure, because the gospel sets you radically free. Free from the culture, free from society, free from the media, free from the opinions of others. It even sets you free from your own ego, your own self. So in this great passage of the Lord Jesus Christ here, we have the who and the why and the how of Christian freedom. Who? Who does freedom come from? Why? Why does that freedom only come from Jesus Christ? And how? How can you know that freedom tonight? So first, who? Who Who does freedom come from? And Jesus Christ makes it very clear. If the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. The Lord Jesus Christ confronts the world's myths about true freedom. The world tells you tonight, having freedom means have no master but yourself. Be your own master. But the Lord Jesus Christ says true freedom is having the right master. Whoever sins is a slave to sin. What you live for, what you give yourself to, what controls you, what's your Lord? Who is your master? Jesus is asking. What are you living for? Everyone will live for something, some purpose, some standard. Some live for themselves, they want to feel significant. But who are you living for? Now the answer in our culture is live for yourself. It may mean career or family or money or sex or 1,001 things in the culture around us that the culture tells us you must have these things, live for them. But no one has self-mastery. In fact, if you live for yourself, that's the ultimate rebellion against God. Because Jesus is saying, what you live for, that's your Lord. But if you live for something else, it will tyrannize you, it will master you, it will grind you down. Unless Jesus Christ is Lord, you will not be free. And even those who say they're living entirely for themselves, in reality, independence becomes the master. Independence leads to loneliness and ego, and it leads to frailty, and it becomes the master. But then the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, says, if he sets you free, you will be free indeed. So let's think of an example. Let's take the example of criticism. Someone criticizes you. And then you ask yourself, who is master in this situation? Is it your ego? As a Christian, you confess you're a sinner. And even if the criticism you've received is untrue or unfair, you know if those criticizing you knew the whole truth about you, there would be a whole lot to criticize. But the Lord Jesus Christ has paid for all your sins. You're forgiven before God. God has chosen to remember your sins no more. You're a child of God. And therefore, any criticism is not as important as the fact you have peace with God, you have favor with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Your ego is not your master. Jesus is your master. You are free. But the one who lives for sin is a slave of sin. A Christian gives up personal autonomy then and finds freedom in Jesus Christ. The Christian is set free from the tyranny of the ego, which condemns. So our this search these days for identity, identity according to Jesus, is not so much an issue of who are you, but whose are you? We all serve somebody. Who are you going to serve tonight? Who is your master? Who does freedom come from? Jesus says, true freedom only comes from him. So let's ask a second question. Why? Why does freedom come from the Lord Jesus Christ? And in John 8:34, most assuredly I say to you, said Jesus, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. So the Lord Jesus Christ says, some people are living in an anxious way because they are living like slaves, slaves to sin. And in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ, a slave never knew when he or she might be thrown out, might be cast out of the house. A slave was not a member of the family, but the son was a member of the family, the son belonged. And freedom, said Jesus Christ, comes because in Christ you know before God you belong. through faith in Jesus Christ, you've turned from your sins to trust in him. You're a child of God. You belong to God's family now. That helps you to deal with your past and your present. The way to freedom is knowing who you are. You're not a slave. You know where you stand. You belong to God. And God will not cast you out. How does that relate to the past? Numbers chapter 32, verse 33 says, "Be sure your sin will find you out." Now, that's a fascinating verse in the Bible. It doesn't say, "Be sure the world will find you out." It doesn't say, "Be sure others will find you out." It says, "Be sure your sin will find you out." It's as if sin has a life of its own. And there are times when the panorama of sin, the foolishness, the deception, the meanness, those things we try to justify, those sins, they find us out. They haunt us. They taunt us. They laugh at us. What are we going to do with the panorama of sin? Everyone has a conscience. That conscience at times probes you about your sin. The panorama of sin. Be sure your sin will find you out, says the Bible. What are you going to do about that awareness of sin? And no one then has an absolute freedom of conscience before God outside of the gospel, Jesus Christ is saying. People like to pretend that they're people of absolute integrity, but everyone knows there are areas of life where we are not people of absolute integrity. Be sure your sin will find you out. How are you going to find freedom? Freedom from the past. And Jesus is saying the answer is found in the gospel. But as many as received him, Jesus Christ, to them he gave the right to become children of God. To those who believe in his name. The gospel announces to you tonight that in Jesus Christ, you're not someone who's going to be cast aside by God. You've been adopted into God's family. God has accepted you completely. Jesus Christ died on the cross to fulfill all the righteous requirements of the law for you. He died to put away your debt of sin. For those who believe in his name, all the guilt of condemnation has been taken away by Jesus Christ. So what do you do with that panorama of sin? You say to yourself, Jesus has paid the debt of sin. He has set me free. Payment cannot God twice demand. First, at my bleeding surety's hand, and then again at mine. Listen to how a hymn puts it. As to the fact that in Christ you're accepted, you're forgiven. You're not going to be cast out by God. Your sin has been dealt with by Jesus Christ. From whence this fear and unbelief? Where does this fear and unbelief come from? Has not the Father put to grief his spotless Son for me? And will the righteous judge of men condemn me for that debt of sin which, Lord, was charged on you? If you have my discharge procured, if Jesus has dealt with those sins, and freely in my room, in place of me, endured the whole of wrath divine, payment God cannot twice demand. First at my bleeding surety's hand, first at the hands of Jesus, and then again at mine. Don't fear banishment from God, Charles Wesley says in his hymn. You're accepted in Christ. Sin has got a power to enslave you, but there is a victor who frees us. His name is Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ has died and lives again to set his people free. You can have a clear conscience before God, but there's no other route to such freedom, no other way. It's only in Jesus Christ you are brought into God's family. It's only in Jesus Christ you are secure in the Father's love. And in Jesus Christ, you not only have freedom from the past, you also have freedom then from the present. The myth of our culture is you are free to do whatever you want. But Jesus says you are free when you are free to do what God created you to do. When people say that they are free, when they can do whatever they want, what do they mean? God created us to live for him. The human heart is like a cauldron of all sorts of conflicting desires. Sometimes we do not know what our deepest desires are. Let me give one example and then another. There are people who would like to lose weight, but they like ice cream. I know someone a bit like that. Lots of ice cream. Now, we are told our freedom is do whatever we want. But do we want to lose weight? Or do we want to eat ice cream? Those desires conflict with each other. Well, let's give a deeper example. Many people have talked to me about the issue of sexual immorality. And often they are being pulled in two directions. On the one hand, there is a desire to be a person of integrity, the desire to keep promises. On the other hand, there is this person who makes them feel wonderful, and there's a conflicting desire now. One desire leading this way, one desire leading that way. And the answer, Jesus says, is go to the truth of the word of God. The Creator speaks, the one who made you for himself. You may think freedom is freedom to do exactly what you want. But what does the Creator say? The Bible tells you the way to be free is to submit to the blueprint of a Creator who made you to glorify God and enjoy him forever. It's like the child, when the child says, I don't want to go to school today. I don't want to go to church today. It's too early. I don't want to go to bed tonight. But the wise father or the wise mother says, you're going to school. You're coming to church. You're going to bed. Because the wise parent knows if you give that child total autonomy, it will be destructive. The parent knows, just give the child whatever the child wants, child driven by his own voice or the voice of friends, that will prove destructive in the long run. The child must learn to honor and obey the voice of a parent, because in the long run, that will lead to freedom. In the short run, if the child just does his or her own desires, that will enslave the child. The child must learn to trust the parents. How do we find freedom? We find it in Jesus Christ. Why does freedom come from the Lord Jesus Christ? Because God the Creator made us for himself. And we are not truly free without him. So who does freedom come from? Why does freedom come from the Lord Jesus Christ? Thirdly, how? How does freedom come to us? If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, said Jesus, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Being a disciple of Jesus Christ sets you free. Some of you are fluent in more than one language. You have freedom to choose which language you're going to speak in. But that freedom means at some point you went through the discipline of learning another language. You could have been spending your time doing all sorts of things, playing games on the computer, all sorts of things. But you're now free to speak in a different language because you went through the discipline of learning that language. Or here's a person who has the freedom to play the piano. Why do they have that freedom? They have the freedom because they went through the discipline of piano lessons and piano practice and learning to play the piano. Or here's an athlete who wins a medal at a rowing competition, who has learnt how to exert himself and the best way to row that boat. He has disciplined himself. He's as fit as possible, and he practiced and practiced and practiced. It takes the wisdom of discipline, discipleship, to enjoy freedom. The Lord Jesus Christ speaks of abiding in his word. Freedom comes from being a disciple of Jesus Christ. Now we know that ethical behavior alone does not make a person a Christian. It's trusting in Jesus Christ as the way, the truth, and the life that makes you a Christian. But your obedient life, which flows from that, reveals those who are true disciples of Jesus. Becoming a disciple involves new birth. It involves receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior King. But as you trust him and follow him, the truth sets you free. John 14:23, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we'll come to him and make our home with him, said Jesus. Are you abiding in God's word? What does the blessed man of Psalm 1 do day and night? His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. So the mark of the free person is that person who knows the love of God shed abroad in his heart, loves God, abides in God's word. Do you abide in God's word, that God's word examines you? That tells you something tonight about your spiritual condition. Perfect freedom comes from trusting and serving Jesus Christ. He says that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. It's likely if you're feeling crushed as a Christian tonight, it's because somewhere in your life, you are not abiding in God's word. And that burden of departing from God's word weighs you down. The only yoke that will not burden you is trusting and following Jesus Christ when he becomes the supreme treasure and delight in your life. He sets you free. If you abide in the word of Jesus, you're indeed his disciple. And if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed, said Jesus. So what we find here in John chapter 8 is a great contention against the culture that we live in about what is true. Jesus said that he was the truth. And most of the Jews believed that what Jesus was saying was false. And there are many in our culture, especially amongst the cultural elite, who would say this debate between Jesus and the Jews of his day, the idea that there was one religious truth, that there's one way to God, one Savior, in the minds of so many in our culture, that is discredited. Indeed, the claim by Jesus to be the truth is more and more being treated these days as the intellectual equivalent of fascism. Most people doubt that religious ideas are serious enough to be described as true or false. Our culture says it doesn't matter what you believe. It's impossible to use terms like true and false. Now, that same elite doesn't deny science, for example, that science can tell us what is true. But they don't say the same thing about the Bible. A few take a more extreme ground and say it's impossible to know that anything is true or false, that there's no independent existing reality at all. But Jesus was a man who proclaimed himself as the truth. He spoke of those who were not willing to trust him as being on a road to destruction. That he was the way, the truth, and the life. And Jesus was clearly saying that the people of his day who would not trust in him did not understand the truth. They were distorting the truth. You see the modern reason for denying the possibility of the truth. Modern culture is trying to say to us, we cannot know the truth. Because that means saying that other views, other religions, other ways of salvation that people claim are wrong, are false. Or that would be impolite and unacceptable in our multicultural setting. But that was not the view of the Lord Jesus Christ. He thought it was supremely important to distinguish truth from error. Because it's only by the truth, only by Jesus Christ, can men and women be set free. So the Bible is uncompromising in its stand for truth. Think of what Paul writes to the Corinthians, for example, in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14. He says, if Christ is not risen, if Jesus was not raised from the dead, if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty. And your faith is also empty. The fact of the resurrection of Jesus as true, says Paul, is supremely important. So the Bible has nothing to do with this modern notion that you can believe whatever you like. You can believe whatever you like and still in good conscience claim to be a Christian. Nor, says the Bible, there are certain truths to believe, and the truth supremely as it is in Jesus Christ himself. For Jesus there is one truth, and he is the representative of that truth. He brought that truth from heaven, he declares, from the maker of heaven and earth. And you reject Jesus, there's the truth, then you are walking in darkness, not in the light. So Jesus Christ in the Gospels and all through the Bible, we find the same truth. Says that believing in him, trusting in him, knowing him, following him, abiding in his word. That phrase in verse 32 gets thrown around a lot. The truth shall make you free. The truth shall set you free. And it sort of implies for some people that a truth clicks in your mind and suddenly you're free. As if believing in Jesus is only a matter of right information. But when we look deeply at what the Lord Jesus Christ was saying, there's something more than that. Someone has described that vital 18-inch gap between your head and your heart. It's one thing to say, I know certain things about Jesus. It's another thing to say that from the heart, you've believed in him. You've trusted him. You've turned from your sins and confessed them to him and asked him to cleanse and forgive you. Jesus offers true freedom from sin, not just by knowing certain things, but by trusting in him, the one who purchased salvation for us by his precious blood shed on the cross. So this is not just intellectual assent. This is deep allegiance. This is heart allegiance. This is being a disciple. It's hearing truths from Jesus sometimes that we don't want to hear. It's hearing demands from Jesus at times that make us struggle. It's proclaiming to us the magnificent promises of God that we tremble to trust sometimes. The truth will set you free, it's been said, but not until it's finished with you. But there's nothing more valuable than that freedom that Jesus Christ offers. So Jesus is saying tonight, if you are a scoffer, if you're saying, I have never trusted in Jesus, then you have to grapple with your slavery to sin and self. You're living for yourself and see what that rebellion is. And you need to cry out to Jesus Christ to help you to trust in him and follow him. That Jesus will set you free by the power of his grace. And if you're a wandering admirer of Jesus Christ, and maybe you minimize your slavery to sin, you need to cling to Jesus Christ tonight and call on him to hold you fast. And if you're a disciple tonight, you are reminded that the path of disciple, to being a disciple of Jesus, is sometimes difficult. There is a spiritual warfare. But be reminded, Jesus Christ, if you're trusting and following him, sets you free. And when the tempter comes against you, when you feel the risings of sin in your heart, you need not, and indeed we must not, just give ourselves to sin as if we're a slave of sin. Instead, lean on Jesus Christ. Run in faith to Jesus Christ. Trust in him. Call on him to help you to walk the path of discipleship. Abide in Christ's word so that you will know the truth. And when you know Jesus, who is the truth will set you free. So let's pray now together. Let's all pray. Lord Jesus, we praise you tonight as the one who is the truth. Forgive us, Lord, that we are deceived at times in our own hearts by our self-will, by the cultural pressure, by the tempter of our souls. We pray, trusting in Jesus Christ tonight, we will know that truth that sets us free. And if we are trusting in Jesus Christ and set free, then we are free indeed. Not going back to the slavery of sin, but living for Christ and abiding in his word. So we pray for your grace and forgiveness and blessing and help. We thank you, Lord, that as you've set us free, free not free to sin, but free to live for God. We pray that in Christ, living for him, we shall live as those who are freed indeed. So help us. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing hymn number 500, a hymn about the grace of God, that grace in Jesus Christ, the truth, the Saviour who sets us free. 501, I think it is. Yeah, 501. Oh, how the grace of God amazes me. It loosed me from my bonds, from my chains, and set me free. We'll stand to sing 501. Lord Jesus, we praise you that we find in you that perfect freedom, that freedom which we cannot accomplish for ourselves, that freedom that brings a child of God tonight in faith through Jesus Christ to come to God in thankful and praising heart that Jesus Christ has set us free. Once our sins enslaved us, but Jesus broke the chain and set us free. Once we were condemned before God, Jesus took the condemnation and set us free. Once we had no assurance of acceptance before God, but our assurance means in Jesus Christ, as a child of God, God has adopted us into his own family. And as the sons and daughters of God, we come to God through Jesus Christ and will never be cast out. So we bring you praise and ask, O Lord, you'll receive the thanksgiving of our hearts, for we come in Jesus' name. Amen.